Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares insights into the awakening process that so many people worldwide are experiencing today as they begin to understand energy, how it works, and how it influences their thoughts, their actions, and the ultimate possibilities for using this to manifest their spiritual and life goals with greater compassion and open hearts. I am most happy to welcome Arjuna Arda, author of his newest book, Better Than Sex, which is a lively book that helps access such moments of awakening and shows you how easy it is to coach others to live this awakening process in day-to-day life. Hello, Arjuna.
Hello there. How are you?
Great. Arjuna, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, each show offers different approaches to mindful thinking and ways to move forward in the 21st century into a more open-hearted and open-minded view of health and wellness by understanding ourselves as dual energies and cultivating the best in our spiritual and physical worlds, always discovering more about who we are and how we can create the best life for ourselves. It involves self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotional, physical, and spiritual components. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will both try to liberate the essence of spiritual awakening from the familiar packaging of thousands of years of patriarchal tradition to discover its greatest potential, what is truly most important and alive for us, rather than the superficial or watered-down version of some spiritual practices. Arjuna will discuss the seven innate brilliances of awakening coaching and the differences between awakening coaching and psychotherapy. Arjuna, I often ask my guests to think back to a time in childhood, as often the theme and goals and interests and desires and values for our life seem evident in our earliest memories and our beginning. Can you tell us something about that?
Sure. I think my childhood was characterized by an unusually high degree of suffering. What I remember from childhood was that my parents were in conflict a lot, and there was a lot of unhappiness and disturbance in my immediate family. So by the time I got to be about 14, that's really where you first get to kind of evaluate your family objectively. It's where you first get to distinguish between your family and any other family. So it was about that time when I was 14, I realized that, you know, not everybody in the world had such a kind of dysfunctional situation as I did. So I realized there were several suicides in my family already, and I realized that my choices were really, either suicide or going crazy, you know. So I checked out, this is 1971 when I was 14, I checked out psychotherapy. But at least back then, it seemed like the psychotherapists were in worse trouble than their patients.
That may be so in many cases. They go into it because they are dealing with their own issues, and they think they'll find their way out, which sometimes they do.
So what was also available at that time was just the beginnings of Eastern spirituality, like the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi had come to England to meet with the Beatles in Bangor, Wales, and the Hare Krishnas were around and so on. So at 14, I realized, you know, that there was this thing called spirituality. I didn't really know much about it, but that was what happened, actually, was that I told my mother I wanted to become a Hare Krishna, which she completely objected to. She wouldn't hear of that. So instead, I learned transcendental meditation. I stayed with that for many years, and then from there went on to explore many other modalities all the time aware of some kind of intelligence and awareness beyond what we usually call the mind.
Well, I think you were born with that awareness, an observer of life, and you were sensitive to begin with, probably very empathic, and you actually selected the family you were born into. I believe that we come with a life plan, and we select the challenges that we need so we can develop our gifts. And you were exactly in the right place, even though you had to go through that to become the person you are today and to offer to the world in your book a way to look past any trauma and situation to get to the heart of your being and to create and manifest something more wonderful for yourself. So I kind of think you were a sensitive and very bright kid, and you went on to find your way and path to open up all your gifts and talents.
Well, I must admit that George Noory on Coast to Coast didn't offer the same kind of insights. So this is a special kind of interview.
Oh, great. I'm glad you like it. So at an early age, you did develop this awareness of spirituality. And how would you personally describe the word spirituality? Because it took me many years to come up with an answer for myself as to exactly what it was.
Well, I kind of hesitate to answer that because I actually don't use that word very much anymore, simply because it's been so co-opted by the kind of New Age movement. It's become, I think, relatively meaningless because it covers such a multitude of esoteric stuff, you know, from angels to past life regression to all kinds of things. So I talk more about awakening, which is actually a very pragmatic and easily defined thing. And part of the reason that I keep away from, you know, part of the reason for the way that I wrote Better Than Sex is we, in awakening coaching, it is a coaching method, you know, and we work with professionals. So our clients include the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, and we work with a lot of IT professionals in technology. We work with screenwriters in Hollywood and policymakers in Washington, D.C. And the thing about, you know, people who are very effective in the world, making a big impact on the world, is generally they have quite a resistance to the kind of jargon and concepts of the kind of New Age movement. So it's important to be able to talk about these things in a very pragmatic way that anyone can understand and relate to, and that appeals to common sense rather than belief or rather than a belief system.
Now, how did you come up with the title for the book? When I first saw it, I said, oh, well, I have talked to sex therapists on the show.
Yeah.
And my first feeling was that it must be something to do with an awakening in terms of how to feel within yourself the Kundalini energy and a greater love of life and people. Which it is, but it's not exactly better than sex. So how did you come up with that?
Well, I was in Vienna in Austria a couple of years ago. I was actually giving a talk at the United Nations. The United Nations has its centers in New York and Geneva and in Vienna. So I was at the United Nations, and after I gave this talk midweek, and on the weekend we had a seminar, a weekend seminar, with people from all over the world, of course, because it's United Nations and you get people from every country. So we did this seminar, and on the Saturday, I was guiding them I was showing them how they could guide each other through coaching methods into this recognition of infinite consciousness. So everybody was dropping deeply into this consciousness without any boundaries. And then people had their experiences, and then they went home on Saturday night to their hotel or to their family. And then they came back on Sunday for the second day of the seminar. And so I asked everybody, you know, so what was your experience? You had this deep dropping into infinite consciousness yesterday. So how has it been since? And somebody said, wow, all the stress is gone from my body. I just feel limitless. And somebody said, I had a really romantic evening with my wife. I felt like my heart was really open. And somebody said, you know, I felt this incredible wellspring of creativity, and I was just writing for hours on the book that I'm working on. And finally it came around the circle to a woman, and she said, I just don't know how to describe this. She said, I feel so good in my body, I feel so good for no reason. I feel so energized. I just don't know how to describe it. It's better than sex. I said, well, thank you. Would it be okay if I use this as the title of my next book?
Well, what she was feeling was she was really alive, and she was vibrating at a higher level of her energy and the love from her heart. That's what was really going on, and it was beautiful that you came up with the title that way. So how would you describe awakening to your true nature, and what are the benefits and ramifications for our society as more people undergo this transformation? Because there are good things to come out of this realization and this awakening process for all of us.
Yes. Well, you know, awakening, I would suggest, is actually always happening in this moment now. Awakening, a lot of people talk about awakening like some kind of award you get at a university. You know, that's why I don't really talk about enlightenment, because it suggests some kind of, you know, achievement that, you know, before there you were this kind of ignorant schmuck, and then you had this enlightenment experience, and since then pure golden light has been pouring out of every orifice in your body. And it doesn't seem to be like that. That seems to be a little bit of a myth. But actually, awakening is always in this moment. Every single moment now is an invitation to wake up to your true nature.
Yes, let me read what you wrote in reference to peace, awareness, and awakening, because it's actually saying what you just said. Everything we experience through our senses, as well as every fleeting thought and feeling, is constantly shifting and changing. It is all subject to birth and death. When we are glued to this world of changing things, it is like being on a roller coaster that never, ever stops. Just a moment of awakening returns you to that which does not change. Awareness is a constant. Hence, you are flooded with peace, with stillness, with a feeling of coming home. How true.
Yeah.
And how beautiful, and how true. So what you just said is absolutely, it's not going on all the time. We have these moments of an awareness, of a moment of complete joy in life. And if you have them even once, it is almost enough to know who you are as a soul or energy being.
Yeah.
Now, Arjuna, you go on to say that there are those who follow the longing and find the open secret. Now, longing is very different from desire. So tell us something about that.
Yeah, so longing, you know, we make this distinction in the book between desire and longing, because we've actually been taught or conditioned to desire many things. The most obvious example is we've been taught to desire money, you know, that you should want money. We've been taught to desire sex. We've been taught to desire power. But a lot of these things are not actually intrinsically fulfilling. So if you chase after money, you can get a load of money, but actually by now I think everybody knows that people who have loads of money are actually, for the most part, less happy than the rest of us. Money does not buy you well-being.
No, it doesn't.
Despite the group myths in our culture. So, and same with everything else. You know, having loads of sex doesn't really make you feel any better, nor does having a lot of power. But so desire is very often leading you out of yourself, whereas longing, on the other hand, longing is less defined. Longing is for something which the heart cannot forget, even if the mind cannot define it. So the mind can't describe it, but the heart cannot forget it, you see. And that's the longing for your true nature. That's the longing to come home. It's the longing to feel the dissolving of separation. And that takes a little bit of guidance. You know, that's the benefit of coaching, so that somebody can be guided into following the longing.
Yes, we can be tricked by the ego and our illusions to think that our desires will bring out the best in our lives, but in actuality, it is only when we go deep within, like some of the people that you speak of who had a great need to do this, Buddha, Jesus, and Thomas Jefferson, Albert Einstein, Michelangelo, they knew about the open secret and ways for everything to sparkle with light and to lead more creative lives, and they really didn't care that much about the masses or other people's ideas or needs, because they were truly looking for a sense of self and a development of helping others and being part of a cooperative world. And competition comes along with desire very often, and it takes us and separates us from this longing or need to really find the deeper parts of ourselves. So where is the open secret, and how does one begin to go towards that place?
Right. So the open secret is it's who you are. You know, the open secret is your true nature.
Yes.
So that's why it's an open secret. You know, it's a secret because not everybody is living it in every moment consciously, but it's open because everybody could be. It's simply the willingness to pay attention to that which is hearing and seeing and feeling.
Thank you. Beautifully said. So what do you think, and you do mention it in the book, and I go along with you. I've discovered much of this myself. What do you think are some people's deepest longings? Not their desires, but their their longings.
Right. Well, when we investigate this with clients, so the essence is really to return to yourself, to return to who you truly are. That's the essence of it. But as you said, it has many ramifications. So the ramifications of that are the dissolving of separation, to feel truly deep intimacy beyond where there's any me or you remaining, where there's a deeply felt sense of oneness, of...
So what we're saying here is love without fear.
Yeah.
Finding your unique gifts and talents, being free from the illusions of your mind or the mind chatter that frightens you, finding a place of peace or stillness and opening your heart, and to belong to yourself and belong to the world of eternal energy and creation. So, yeah, and loving very deeply, compassionately, and unconditionally. That all was said in your book, and it is not only the words, it is the need to at one time experience any of it, and you will begin to know who you are as a soul being and a being of energy and one and connected to everyone and everything. So that is what we're hoping for people, that they can have those moments where they can close down the outside world just long enough to be with themselves in peace and to find what's most important to them, not to other people. That is the beginning. So what is radical awakening? Not just awakening, but now radical awakening. And can you tell us a story of someone's awakening that way?
Sure. Well, what we mean by radical awakening is that this shift in consciousness from limitation and separation into returning to your true nature, where things flow naturally on their own. Radical awakening means that this can happen simply and easily, that we can somehow bypass the crusty traditions where we've been told that this is difficult, or that it takes a long time, or that you have to fulfill all kind of prerequisites. So we train coaches to be able to facilitate this shift in consciousness in like 10 minutes. And it's incredibly effective. It's actually, the less somebody knows about it, you know, that the easier it is. If we work with an executive in a big technology firm, if we work with an executive at Google or something, it's really easy. When we work with spiritual New Age people who've read a lot about it already, it becomes more difficult because there's a lot of concepts. So it's actually, the less somebody thinks they know, the easier it becomes. But radical awakening is a technique, actually. It's a way of working in coaching to facilitate an awakening in just a few minutes. And that's really key to the approach we take with awakening coaching, is that we don't want this to be complex or cumbersome or to take a long time. We want it to be completely accessible and natural for anybody to access this and to learn to live their life from this kind of openness.
You know, Arjuna, as a Reiki energy practitioner, it took me a long time to realize that in a session, my clients were actually accessing this inner state and becoming aware of their own soul essence. And that is a radical awakening and a moment of true peace. Now, I didn't think of myself as an awakening coach at that time. I thought of myself more of empowering others to discover their personal power. And I now, having read your book and understanding your concepts, we are doing the same work. We are helping people shift in a moment of awareness to their natural state of being. And once they know that, they are no longer satisfied in living in a state of fear and less than their authentic self. And they find ways and people, and they open up and they start to make intentions and changes in their life. So this allows for big changes to happen. Now, if people are in denial or not ready to make this shift or change yet, that's okay, because there will come a time for everyone to find this, if not in this life, beyond this life perhaps. And the universal laws of energy help us to discover and master our thoughts and our talents. So there's nothing to fear but fear itself, as Winston Churchill said. And we hope people will begin to process this awakening in moments of a true connection to themselves and others. So we will go on to discuss the concept of coaching. Tell us something about coaching and how you help people to use that sense.
Now, let me just ask you one thing before we go on, because you asked me to tell you a story about awakening. Did you still want me to tell you that?
Oh, absolutely. I love stories. We all love stories.
Well, you know, here's a good example. This guy was a COO of a bank. He went into work to run a meeting of, you know, his team at the bank. And as each person spoke at the meeting, he would look at them and he could feel the depth of their true innocent heart. He would tune into somebody and completely feel their absolute innate beauty.
Because he had let go of his intellect long enough for him to address his empathic feeling for people, his love for the experience, his love to know people at a different level. And that is an awakening, and a radical awakening at that.
But here's the important thing, you see, because you said he had been able to let go. He didn't actually do anything at all. Right? He was just standing on a train station, completely not expecting him. He didn't make any effort or decision for anything to happen. He didn't have any spiritual framework or belief system. He'd not read any books about it. He was just standing waiting for a train, and this thing happened. Now, the difficulty he had, and the reason I met him, is he was completely blown away by this shift in consciousness. He had no experiential reference for it, and he had no way to sustain it. So consequently, he actually went into an experience of disorientation and depression, because he didn't know how to get that back. So when he came to me in, I think it was in 99, I'm not sure, somewhere around there, he learned awakening coaching, and he realized that what we were teaching in awakening coaching was actually guiding him into this same awakening, but now in a repeatable scientific way, in a way that could be repeated each and every time. And he became an awakening coach. He's now gone on to found a company called Business for Profit, B for P, which is a huge hedge fund with $10 billion in assets, which invests people's money, and the hedge fund then actually invests the short-term equity that's created from a hedge fund in projects that really are socially enhancing. So he works with orphanages in India. He works with urban poverty. So he's actually, very typical story, he's dedicated his life now to helping people and making the world a better place out of this shift in consciousness. And then, as you said, your life becomes a dance of service. Your life becomes a dance of giving and supporting others.
That's beautiful. I do like that. And dancing with the universe and dancing with the sensory being of your light and lightness is actually where we're moving, and many of us are moving in that direction, whether we're aware of it in our intellect or not. It's happening anyhow. I want to thank you, Arjuna Arda, author of Better Than Sex, a practical book sharing real-life examples and a simple, repeatable methodology to support yourself and others in living their fullest potential in every possible dimension of life. For more information, go to awakeningcoachingtraining.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the reality for millions of people today who are recognizing the multidimensional aspects of their energetic and sensory life experiences, looking for and then finding the means to live in balance, love, and harmony with a true knowledge of their dual nature as both spiritual and physical beings. In discussing the sense of awakening or deep longing for awareness of higher consciousness and harnessing it as the source of all life, we move past fear, limitation, and negativity to a more realistic view of ourselves, others, and human conditions, and can adopt positive lifestyles, making better choices for our personal growth. Arjuna and I would ask you to find the way to find satisfying ways to be at peace with yourself and open to the many possibilities of a reality filled with awareness of your potential for a wonderful life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear and read about worldwide leaders who will infuse you with the energy to love and perhaps also to find this awakening. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.